I have just taken cassette tape number 2 and turned it over onto side B. And we'll now start recording after backing up a little bit on the big 7-inch tapes.
So I really enjoyed teaching in that ward, in the old first ward. And Nathan Tanner became the bishop after, bishop and son, after they made, separated and made 2 wards. And Nathan Tanner was the bishop.
Well, just a minute. I'm going to continue on now asking my father some questions and see if we can learn something of his early life. Dad, where were you born?
In Cedar Rapids, Iowa, June the 22nd, 1887.
Do you know anything about the house or the circumstances where you were born?
It was on the 2nd Avenue, and we went back east in 1949, and we got there too late. The house had been sold and moved. So I don't
know. That had just happened?
That had happened in 1949. The house had been moved from there.
Hmm.
I don't remember the house because we moved from there when I was 2 years old to Idaho, over to Idaho, where my father went railroading for the Oregon Shortline Railroad as a fireman.
What was your father doing in Cedar Rapids?
In Cedar Rapids, he was in the junk business, and then they started the Cedar Rapids Transit Company, and he drove the first mule team for the Cedar Rapids Transit Company in that city. In those days, they didn't have any electric power for the transit companies. That was in the days of the horse and buggy.
Was this transit company for transporting all kinds of goods or just people?
Just passengers.
Did it run on tracks?
They run on a track, yes.
But it was drawn by a mule?
Drawn by a mule team.
And your father's name was Henry?
Henry C. Hall.
Did the C stand for anything?
Charles, Henry Charles Hall. And his father's name was Henry C. Hall. And his father's name was William Hall. So that's as far back as the record goes, is William Hall, my great-grandfather.
Well, your mother's name was?
Mary Ann Woodcox.
And what was her father and mother's name?
Her father's name, I can't think of his first name right now, but her mother's name was Naoma Woodcox.
We've got this in the genealogical records, I guess, though, haven't we?
Yes, we have them in the genealogical records.
Well, before we get started on your own life, what about your own father's life? Did he ever tell you anything of interest?
Well, his father died when he was 2 years old. His father was a merchant and ran a store in Lafayette, Ohio, where father was born. Father was born there, I think it was 1856. Well, his father died when he was 2 years old, and he became in charge of his grandfather. And he thinks that perhaps he was beating out, he didn't get his share of the estate when his father died. And then too, that store was moved, which my grandfather ran at Lakehead, Ohio, just a short time before we arrived there in 1949. So he didn't get to see the store that he had run. The store was tore down and moved away.
Oh, that's too bad.
So when father was 14 years old, he started out on his own.
Who does your father think got this estate that he didn't get any cut off?
Well, that was his brothers, one of his brothers had got the biggest share of the estate.
How about your grandmother Hall? Did you know much of her?
I never did see my grandmother Hall on my father's side. Never did see her.
Did she die before you were born, or?
Yes, she died before I was born too. Both his parents died when he was young.
So you never did see either your grandmother or grandfather Hall.
I didn't.
How about your grandparents on your mother's side? Did you ever know them?
Mother took us back to Mount Vernon, Iowa when I was a boy.
About how old were you?
No, I was about 8 years old. And my grandfather, McElroy, or grandfather Woodcox, was dead, but my grandmother, Naomi McElroy Woodcox, was still living. She was a large woman, and she was a very, very nice woman, very pleasant. And she was sure grateful to see us come. And she was living with her youngest daughter at that time, and they were living on a large farm in Mount Vernon. But what I remember of her, she was a wonderful woman and very intellectual and spiritual. She was very spiritually minded.
Now, your family were not members of the church. What were these folks members of some church?
Yeah, they were members of the sectarian churches.
You don't know which particular
I don't know which particular one.
Your own mother and father were Methodists, were they?
Well, my mother was a Methodist. My father didn't claim membership in any church. He said he had his feet in the church one time when he was a boy. When they went to a Sunday school picnic. So I don't know who was to blame, whether his offense was justifiable or not, but he didn't belong to any church.
This was back in Lafayette, Ohio, probably?
That was in Lafayette, Ohio.
Well, now, did you ever learn anything concerning William Hall from your own parents or other?
Well, my father said he was a large man. Big in stature, he would 200 pounds, about 6 feet high, and very powerful. He came to Lafayette and bought 80 acres of government land and worked it. But while he was there, he sold a lot of that land for homes and business houses while he was there in Lafayette. So, outside of that, I don't know much about him.
Anything else come to mind concerning your... Let's see, William Hall would be what? Your great-grandfather?
Yes, my great-grandfather.
You don't know what stock they were, I guess, whether they were English, German...
No, I don't know just what stock they were. Hall, probably English was denominant. And his probably English descent. My great-grandmother was Marinda Evick. Don't know much about her. They had...
Which side of the family was this?
That was on my father's side of the family.
This would have been William Hall's wife?
That's right, William Hall's wife. And they had 5 sons and 5 daughters.
Did you ever hear a description of her?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember much about her. I haven't heard anything about it. I don't believe my father told me anything about her. He could have done, but I've probably forgotten it. These 5 sons and 5 daughters, now I don't know where they went to. Now, Henry C., my father's father, my grandfather, stayed in Lafayette and went in business there. My father also said that he was poetic. He wrote many poems, but we hadn't any of them that he wrote. Hadn't any of their records. We thought when we got back there we might find some records of Henry C. Hall, my grandfather, but we wasn't able to find anything. Probably would have found something if we'd have got there before the store had been torn down and moved away.
It's a shame. Did he live in the store, a part of the store?
No, I couldn't say to that whether he lived in part of the store or not.
Are these people buried in Lafayette, Ohio?
Yes, they're buried in Lafayette. We went through the cemetery there and got a lot of names for genealogical work. And we had names done for 26 families by getting those names from the Lafayette Cemetery on the Hall Line.
Uh-huh.
So we were very fortunate in getting those names and having that work done.
Who is the closest relative to you who still lives in that Ohio country?
Well, I'd have to look that up.
When I was a kid, you still had some aunts alive back there, I believe. One of them gave me a little spoon and fork when I was a kid. Which one was that?
Well, those were on my mother's side. Oh, that was Aunt Manny, my mother's sister, that gave you that souvenir.
I guess none of your mother's brothers or sisters are alive today.
No. No, none of them alive. There were seven daughters and one brother on the mother's side. Aunt Manny, she was the seventh daughter, and they figured that she had healing power because she was the seventh daughter. Whether that was superstition or what it was, but she was helpful in with the sick. She never did have any children of her own.
Did she get married?
Yes, she got married, and her and her husband moved to Topeka, Kansas, and he was a night operator, and she was the day operator there on this Topeka station for the Santa Fe Railroad.
Oh.
So she did help a lot, a great deal in helping the sick and everything like that. She was very good at that because she didn't have any children of her own.
Did you ever hear your father and mother say anything about their courting days or when they were married?
Well, I heard my mother say about it. She used to, the parents didn't want her to go with father, so she used to sneak out the bedroom window to go out with him on courting.
That's a second story window?
No, I suppose it was a ground floor window.
Didn't need a ladder.
Didn't need a ladder, get out. But she was sure she was going to get him for a husband, regardless of what her parents thought about him. So he, considering everything, I think he got along pretty well. He went out and made his own living at the age of 14. Was able to rear a family and support them.
What reasons did your mother's parents give for not wanting her to go out with this Henry C. Hall?
She didn't say. She
was a stranger in town.
Well, yes, he was a stranger there in town. You know, he came in from Ohio. That could have been the cause of it.
Let's see, what time are we talking about now? Cedar Rapids or?
Yeah, this is Mount Vernon now, right? Just a short ways from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
And your father then hadn't been in town too long.
No, he hadn't. He drove in there with a fine team and wagon. He was in the junk business.
Mm-hmm.
And when they built the Cedar Rapids Transit Company and put on mule teams, he was the first driver.
This junk business goes back long ways, I see, Dad. Now I know where I get it from. Well, where did your mother meet your father? Did you ever hear that?
No, I didn't hear. He could have been boarding nearby. And I never did hear tell how that she first met him. Anyhow, he was around 21 and he was looking for a wife at that time. So he figured it was time that he should get married and have a family.
Where did they get married? In a church there or what?
They were married in Cedar Rapids, and he bought a home there on 2nd Avenue, and they lived there until they moved to Pocatello, Idaho.
I was wondering about where they were married or who, by whom, a justice of the peace or a minister, do you know?
No, I don't know. What was it married them? Probably a justice of the peace.
I don't think they were
thinking about it. They wasn't too particular about whether a minister married them or not, I don't suppose.
Well, now, you say you left Cedar Rapids when you were 2 years old.
I was 2 years old.
I guess you don't remember much about it.
I don't remember anything about it. So,
how did they travel from Cedar Rapids to Pocatello?
On the train.
On the train. Mm-hmm. And your dad went there to work on the railroad?
He went to work for the Oregon Short Line Railroad at Pocatello.
What sort of thing was your father doing on the railroad?
He was a fireman.
Fireman.
And he got transferred to Ogden and worked on the Cache Valley route from Ogden to Logan.
What year did he transfer, do you know? Or how old were you?
I believe I was about 5 years old, 5 or 6.
Do you remember anything about Pocatello?
No, what I remember about Pocatello is that we had a baby was born there, a mother by the name of Eugene, and he died in his infancy. And my mother always says that he was a beautiful child. He was very, very fine baby. And she said it seemed to her like he was an angel, that he was, that there was probably his time to go in his infancy.
Uh-huh. Was Eugene buried in Pocatello?
He was buried in Pocatello, and I remember, I do remember the funeral services there. I remember him lying in the casket and the sermon was, I remember the minister being there, but that's all I do remember about Pocatello. I remember that well, about his funeral.
Is he still buried in Pocatello?
Yes, he's still buried there in Pocatello.
Is this in the Pocatello City Cemetery, you suppose?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't been to it. Never been to the cemetery.
Well, now when your father was transferred to this Cache Valley route, did he move to Ogden at that time?
Yes, he moved to Ogden and then bought a home at 2783 Pacific Avenue. And lived in that home until I was on the west side of the tracks. Lived in that home until it was sold to the railroad company. They wanted to expand the yards. So they bought all the homes west of the tracks at the Union Pacific Railroad yards there. And then he moved up onto Binford Avenue, 126 Binford, until the time of his death. That's where my brother Sam lives now.
Do you have any recollections about this first home west of the tracks?
It was a four-room house.
Frame?
Frame, four-room frame house. And when he moved there, he had electric lights put in.
He didn't build the house himself?
No, he didn't build it. He bought it off of Mrs. Humston. And this Mrs. Humston, who he bought this house off of, turned around and deeded the home to her son-in-law. And he paid the taxes for 3 years. Dad would go to pay the taxes, and they'd say, well, the taxes is paid. He says, well, that's funny. He says, I got to be paying my own taxes. I don't want somebody else paying the taxes for me. And after the second year, why, Jordans, who lived next door to us, was telling us that was their place. We had to get out of there.
This was the son-in-law?
The oldest daughter, Matt, was always insulting us and telling telling us that we'd have to be getting out of that place and all, you know, so Dad, he went up and got the straight of it and found that Mr. Jordan was paying the taxes, so he brought him to court about it. And Mr. Jordan had to pay all the expenses of the court action, and also he had to forfeit the taxes that he had paid.
Mr. Jordan was a real crook then, wasn't he?
So with his mother-in-law, Mrs. What was her name? Helmstead. She, her daughter married Mr. Jordan, see?
Hmm.
So, when that thing was fixed up, there was always friction between us and the Jordans.
Were these other people Mormons?
Yes, they were Mormons. Jack Mormons.
I'll bet another reason for your own parents not to think much of the Mormons, I guess.
Yeah, she was the... Tom Jordan was one of their sons, Flash knows Tom Jordan. And they had several other daughters. So that did bring friction, I guess, about the church to a great extent, I guess. And nevertheless, they never did investigate the church. Parents didn't.
They didn't want anybody to the church.
They took the word of apostates. Anybody that had anything against the church, the church, they'd take their word for it, but they wouldn't take any, wouldn't want to listen to the truth from anybody that had any authority in the church or who were good members of the church, but they wouldn't listen to them.
What about this home? Did you have any modern facilities in those days? You say your father put in electric lights. Did you have plumbing?
Then he put in the water in the kitchen. That we still had the outside plumbing. And he put the water in the kitchen, and I...
Would there be a hand pump in the kitchen?
No, that was the city water.
City water was there.
It was put in the kitchen. Put in the sink, and I dug a hole right back of the kitchen where the sink was, and it was gravelly there, which was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Dug a hole there and put in a couple of lengths of clay pipe, and let the sink drain into this, and we never did have any trouble with it. It always drained away, never had any trouble with the drain from the sink. And then Father bought a shanty to put at the back of the house and built a porch between it, you know, a landing, so you could go from the kitchen door into the shanty, and there he put the washing machine and put a whole lot of other things there that they didn't have any use for, put in the shanty there.
This was an electric washing machine?
Got an electric washing machine that turned by hand.
What was electric about it then?
Well, it became electric, I'll tell you that.
Oh.
It wasn't electric at first. It had a big wheel on it with a handle on it and turned by hand. I used to turn that for mother. But, when I got to work, I went to work when I was 13 as a coal miner railroad. I bought an electric motor. I paid $25 for it.
Expensive.
And put it on the machine, built a platform for it, and put a belt from the pulley on the motor went around this big wheel to the washing machine, and I'd run the washing machine there after that.
How old were you when you did that?
Oh, I was about 15 years old.
Was this to get out of turning the washing machine?
Well, after I went to work, I didn't have to turn the washing machine. I had feelings about my mother, how hard it was for her to do that work. Because I was working 12 hours a day on the railroad as a call boy at that time.
Necessity is another of the
Was this the kind of washing machine that had those... this wooden thing inside with some knobs on it.
That's right, wooden dowel.
Go up and down.
Yeah, turned around.
Back and forth.
Uh-huh. But it was very crude. They were very crude at that time, the washing machines, but still it was better than washing by hand.
Sure.
And I used to buy my mother, I used to buy her a pair of shoes. If I'd see she needed a pair of shoes, I'd buy her a pair of shoes and buy her a locket to put on her dress, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I bought her a watch. I used to think about a lot about her that way. And she'd say, well, don't do this for me, don't do this for me, save me money. But I thought it was right that I should do that for her, and I'd take her to shows occasionally. And I'd buy things for the home. And then we didn't have any music in the home, so I bought a phonograph and a piano.
Was the phonograph that old Edison phonograph that I can remember when I was a kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it was a Victor.
But it was used the Edison style records, the big thick ones.
Yes.
Great big thick.
Mm-hmm. So I used to like the classical music. I used to like some of the comedy music on it too. But
well, I can remember real comedy music on that. And when we were kids, we really used to like to go listen to that gramophone or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And wind it up. That had jazzy saxophone selections or something. Would they have been things that you had bought?
Yes.
When you were a young man?
That's what I had bought. And I know there was one there about eggs. It said exactly. I just remember it was a comic strip.
You bought a piano too, didn't you?
Yes, about a piano. Never did learn to play it. But it was good for you.
We sold it.
It was that the one that was in our home?
Yeah, that's the one that you took lessons on.
I learned on.
Yeah, we had it on. We had it in Marriott, too. We had it in Marriott.
We were sitting around in dust all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back a little earlier, Dad. Where did you first go to school?
Kingsley School. On 30th and...
That was your teacher.
Kingsley Avenue. I forget the names of the teachers now.
Is that the same Pingree School that stands today?
That's the same one that stands now. Of course, they've put additions onto it since that time.
Wasn't part of it the old sandstone structure?
That's right.
Is that the part that was still
there? Old sandstone foundation and sandstone entrances, you know. A large entrance there with a sandstone opening there for the...
I
remember
something about your speech when you were
young.
It
called this nickname.
They used to call me Dutch. Oh, yeah, that was
it. Well, I didn't speak too plain.
Was this in the first and second grade, or?
Yeah, that was in the first and second, in the third grade.
You just called Dutch for a long time.
Why don't they call you Dutch? Because you were part Dutch.
No.
Are you part Dutch?
I am, but that was because of my speech.
Uh-huh.
They call me Dutch. But I thought that was all right. I had my nickname, I didn't mind it when I was a kid.
Do you remember any of your teachers or any events connected
to them? Oh, Etta Butts, one of them. Then there was her sister. Don't know her first name. They came from the East. And they were good teachers. And outside of those two, I don't remember the others. Joe Tingley was the janitor at that time. I remember one winter, it was very cold. I come to school, my hands were just about froze, and he put my hands in cold water so to take the frost out of them.
And to you and the mom.
Yeah. I remember one time going to school, there was a 28th Street ditch, used to be open all the way down here. As I was going to school, I was jumping, I'd jump across the ditch and then back and forth, you know. On the last jump, I fell in the creek. I ran home, changed clothes. Mother put my best suit of clothes on me that I had. And I ran off to church. I was just a few minutes late, or to school, rather. Never did go to church. Didn't know anything about it. So the folks didn't go to church, and I didn't go to church. We used to have our own recreation, us boys. During the summertime, we'd fish and we'd go swimming, swim all day, most of the time. Swim down Weber River.
Would you fish in Weber River also?
Yeah, we'd fish in Weber River.
What part of the river? Is this the part just west of where the main tracks are now? And
yeah, directly west of 28th Street is where we used to fish. And I remember the first carp that I caught, I guess I was just as tickled as Winfield was. I sure ran home with it. Another thing, we used to get kill frogs and skin their legs, cut off their legs and skin them and fry them.
Fried frog's legs.
And that's one thing that all mothers don't like. So mother didn't like that. We had to fry our own frog's legs. So we got a lot of kick out of it. You know, when you fry frog legs, right, the legs, they move about, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the nerves are moving.
Uh-huh.
So that's one thing that mothers don't like about boys frying frog legs. We used to think they tasted good, too.
Did you catch other fish besides carp in the Weber River?